sometimes when you're traveling. You get where you're just eating fast food all the time and eating here and eating there. And sometimes you think, man, I could just go for a good home-cooked meal. And we've had that all week long, and I appreciate that. We do appreciate the offering as well. We didn't come for an offering. We came to obey the Lord. And I do want to say we appreciate all that you've given and all that you've done this week. Thankful, too, just to be able to preach here. Really have been enjoying the readiness of God's people here at God's Miracle Mission to hear the word of the Lord this week. I'm looking forward to what God's going to do here tonight. I've had a great time. I hope I've been speaking in a way that you can understand. Sometimes, I don't know, we're all from different places. And so sometimes we've got in our mindset what we're saying, and it may be something completely different what's coming out of our mouth. And then at the same time, I know how it is. Sometimes you're saying something, and the person who's speaking is speaking perfectly audible, perfectly clear, and understandable. And sometimes we just don't hear. You understand what I'm saying there? I've been there, and I've been on both ends of it. It reminds me of a time a friend of mine and I, we went to Haiti. We went to go on a mission trip there. It was the first mission trip I ever took. And we went together, and neither one of us had been on a mission trip, but we couldn't find anybody to go with us. And that's actually happened to me twice. Couldn't find anyone to go on a mission trip with me. But anyways, we went down to Haiti, and we were going to be preaching at a church there. And just before we were going down there, this friend of mine that was going to go with me got a phone call from his dad. His dad's on the other end of the line, and his dad says, do you know about this country you're going to? He said, no, I don't know anything in particular about it. He said, enlighten me, basically. And so his dad said, listen, I just want you to know, first of all, if you're going to Haiti, I want you to know you need to be ready to die. That's a nice encouraging word from a father. This is the day before we're leaving. His dad, I mean, he was on the phone with his dad for a long time that night. And his dad was trying to persuade him not to go to Haiti because it was a bad country and people had been taken prisoner there and Americans had been held captive and hostage. And at that time, they just lifted a travel ban on going to Haiti. And after a long deliberation, my friend finally decided that he'd go and kind of test the waters. And if it was bad when he got there, he'd jump on a plane and go back. I said, so you're telling me that you're coming with me, but you can't promise you're going to stay. And I might be left there all by myself. And he said, basically, that is what I'm saying. He said, I'm not going to stay if it's dangerous. I said, brother, I just have to know it's God's will. And if it's God's will, I know God will take care of me. And anyways, we left and got there and flew over. And it was a pretty rough plane ride. We were the only ones. Actually, we flew down to Miami and flew out of Miami down to Haiti. And we were just about the only ones that were on that plane who spoke very good English. The majority of those that were on the plane were Haitian. In fact, if I remember right, all of them at least looked like they were Haitian. And they were all packing all kinds of stuff in their bags to get down there, probably going to visit family members and bringing all kinds of stuff from America. So there was no room in the overheads. My friend, who's kind of a timid guy, was already a little bit fearful of what Haitians would do to him. He puts his suitcase up there and up in the space above his head. We went to put it above his head, and there was no space, so he put it in the one in front of the seat in front of him, the one above the seat in front of him. And so he puts it up there and sits down. And all of a sudden, the guy who's going to sit in front of him goes to put his carry-on up there, and there's no room. And he gets angry, gives my friend a really dirty look. And then he started saying something to him in Creole, and he didn't understand what he was saying. My friend, the whole time I could tell, was getting extremely nervous. All these things he'd heard, plus what was going on, he's getting extremely nervous. So anyways, we get to Haiti, and it takes a little bit for us to figure out who was there to pick us up. Finally, we come into contact with those who were meeting us in the airport. They help us get our luggage, load us up in their vehicle. We sit down and go on a long journey. They said a few words to us when they picked us up for the rest of the way. All they did was speak Creole, didn't speak any English to us. That's kind of, they didn't understand what it was like to be in a place where you don't understand what people are saying. But I have a lot more sympathy for folks that are the same way in this country now, because I know what it's like. But anyways, we sat through a long journey, came into a city there in Haiti, and the pastor that was driving pulled over to the side of the road, and they continued speaking in Creole. The young man that was with him got out of the vehicle and walked into the store. My friend was sitting next to me, and he looks out the window, and out the window there's this guy walking around, no uniform or anything on, carrying an AK-47, just walking up and down. walking up and down, carrying an AK-47. Here's this guy whose dad told him, you better be ready to die if you're going to go to Haiti. And so this guy's walking around with an AK-47, and some other stranger comes up to the vehicle and starts talking to the passenger in the front seat. He was speaking in Creole. I don't speak Creole, but I speak French, and Creole is a little bit of French mixed with some other stuff, Swahili and other things like that. So I didn't understand everything they were saying, but I got a little bit of an idea. And my friend who was sitting next to me had no idea what they were saying. And while they were talking, I get this kick in the leg. Pow! Right in the leg. I look over at him, and he's going... Didn't say a word. I guess he was too scared. Well, the week went on. The Lord helped him through. He finally decided halfway through the mission trip that he was going to stay. And after he decided he would stay, we started seeing the Lord move and help. And we were on our way back, and we got to Miami. On the way back, we were in a hotel room getting ready to go back to Tennessee where we were living. And he said, you remember when we were traveling on the way there? I said, man, I remember. You were so scared. He said, yeah, I was. I was so scared. I was worried about what they were going to do to me. Here's this guy, and I'm just talking about having a difficulty understanding what people are saying. He was sitting back there, and he said, you remember when we were riding on the way to the pastor's house? I said, yeah, I remember that. I said, I remember you kicked me. What in the world were you kicking me for? And he said, well, when that guy came up to the front seat, I had no idea what he was saying, but he said, I could swear that that man said, should we kill him now or kill him later? No wonder he was scared. No wonder he was scared. Amen. It's sometimes if we don't understand what's being said, we have a difficult time. So I hope that I've been presenting things in a way that you can understand and you can hear and you can do something with it. And also I want to say I appreciate the Lord's help this week, God being with us and helping us. And the only thing that I can take credit for this week has been the mistakes. All the mistakes, they're mine. And so next time you want to come and tell me good job, just remember, hey, you're just telling me good job on the mistakes, because that's all I can take credit for. Amen. My wife can sing. God bless her with that. But I can just take credit for the mistakes here. Well, let's turn together in the Word of God. Once again, we just say we love you. We've had a great time this week. It's been wonderful. I'm looking for God to move tonight. John chapter number 7, familiar portion of Scripture for us. Felt God dealing with my heart, searching, seeking, praying, and asking God to help us. This is a Scripture that I felt Him lead me to today, and He confirmed it a couple different ways. I know it seems to be cliche, but believe me, I'm not just preaching this to be cliche. I really did feel God leading me to these scriptures and had Him confirm it. Here in John chapter number 7, we're going to focus here on verse number 37, and a very familiar scripture here. It says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people therefore, when they heard this saying, said of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. I want you to picture in your mind with me this thing that's going on here. In the midst of this crowd, you find the Savior. In the midst of this crowd, you find the hypocrites. In the midst of this crowd, you find some disciples. What you see is there's some that are thirsty and don't know it. Then you see there's some that are thirsty and have a desire. And then you see there's the one who is the source of just what they need. Amen. I want to try to preach for a little while out of this scripture. Amen. I want to focus on not just the fact that it was the last day. I know there's some similarities here, but I want to focus on, amen, the thing that Jesus was focusing on as He lifted up His voice. And I want to ask you a question. Does any man thirst here tonight? Amen. Does any man thirst here tonight? Amen. We need God's help. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. And thank you, Lord God, for how you've been helping us this week, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for your presence we feel here tonight. I pray, dear God, that you'd be lifted up, Lord. Oh, God, that you would draw all men unto yourself. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would fill every hungry heart, Lord. Oh, God, in Jesus' name. I pray for your anointing, and I ask for your touch, and I pray that you would move in these altars, God. Oh, Lord, I pray that we'd come into contact with you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for standing for God's Word. Amen. I come tonight with a burden in my heart and a desire in my heart tonight. Amen. I desire tonight not just to preach a message to you, but I desire tonight to see, amen, more than just some quick results or some quick flash and a quick flare. But what I desire tonight, amen, is to know that somehow maybe I did something or the Lord helped me to do something to help one of you, amen, if not all of you, come into contact with the Lord. Amen. This was a time in which the children of Israel no doubt would gather together for a feast. It's obvious they were celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, and without getting into every detail of the feast, there were 7 days of the feast plus one. Many of the feasts of Israel were given in the same way, 7 days plus one. The Feast of Passover was 7 days plus one. And so the Feast of Tabernacles was the same. They had 7 days plus one day that was put on the end, and that last day was actually the eighth day of the feast. Amen. And it's, as we can see here, the pattern, no doubt, was a pattern set by God. And we can look in the Word of God, especially in the book of John, and see somewhat of the same pattern. It's amazing, if you ask me, when you look in the book of John, the book of John and the Apostle John was a man of sevens. God revealed things to him, seems like, in sevens. In the book of Revelation, there were seven trumpets, seven vials, seven plagues, seven judgments, and there were seven churches. No doubt there was a seven-sealed book. Amen. As you get in the book of John itself, you find the same type of a pattern. Amen. There were seven statements of Christ in which He said, I am. Amen. Jesus let them know that He was the bread of life in John chapter number 6. Amen. Jesus told them in John 8 and John 9 that He was the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Amen. As you get into John chapter number 10, Jesus said, I am the door. Amen. Jesus also said in John chapter number 10 that He was the good shepherd that laid down His life for the sheep. As you get into John chapter number 11, amen, Jesus told them there that He is, I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus said. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Amen. Then you get into John chapter number 14, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And finally, the final I am statement of Christ that we find in the Word of God, amen, in John chapter number 15, Jesus said, not in the Word of God, but in the book of John, Jesus said, I am the vine, and My Father is the husbandman. And so you can see there were seven fundamental I am statements of Christ. But on top of that, there's seven plus one. Amen. Seven plus one. You see, for Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees in John chapter number 8, and He told them, amen, before Abraham was, I am. Hallelujah. That's a powerful scripture right there. Before Abraham was, they said, our father's Abraham. And Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see My days. And they said, you're not even 30 years old or 50 years old, excuse me. And you say you've seen Abraham. He said, before Abraham was, I am. What a Savior. Amen. Seven fundamental I am statements plus one. Also, you find in the book of John, seven miracles plus one. Amen. Seven miracles plus one. Hallelujah. The first miracle, I believe, is the first miracle because the Bible says it was the first miracle. Amen. In John chapter number 2, Jesus turned the water into wine. Miracle number 1. Jesus also in John chapter number 5, amen, He healed that impotent man, amen, who was waiting for a healing to come. All through we see there are seven miracles that are recorded. And in John chapter 20, verse 31, it says that these were written that we might believe that Jesus is the Son. Amen. And that believing in Him, we might have life through His name. That's seven miracles. Amen. But if you look after the resurrection, seven miracles plus one. For Jesus, amen, gave the miraculous draught of fishes there in John chapter number 21. And so we can see, amen, that just as much as it's true that there are seven notes, amen, in music, there's still seven notes plus one. There's do, re, mi, fa, so, la, ti. That's seven plus one. Do. Amen. Seven plus one. God is a God of patterns. God is a God of order. Amen. We can see that there's seven plus one. That's a pattern that God has set in His Word. Amen. And 7 days plus one was the Feast of Tabernacles. Amen. And in this day, they had a pilgrimage in which they would make themselves little tents. They would come from all around. Amen. There was three feasts that the children of Israel had to go to. There was a Feast of Passover. There was a Feast of Pentecost. And also the Feast of Tabernacles. These three feasts every young man had to go to. It's interesting to note that in the millennial kingdom, the only feast that's left is the Feast of Tabernacles. For the Feast of Tabernacles is a picture. Amen. It's a foretaste. It's a picture and a taste of what's coming. Amen. In that, the Jews look forward to the day where they move from their temporary dwelling place into a place of permanent dwelling in the presence of the Lord. And amen. All what we have in Christ is a taste, amen, of what we're looking forward to that will happen in the millennial kingdom. Amen. Zechariah chapter number 14 tells us that those during the millennial reign who don't come to Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles don't get rain, and they are going to go through curses and different things will come against them. And all that to say, amen, this was a very significant feast. And also to say there would be a large multitude of people that were gathered together. And in the midst of this multitude, amen, they came day after day and offered sacrifices. And I won't go through every detail of the sacrifice, but on that last day, it was a significant day. Amen. That last day was something that involved a couple different things. They would come and carry in one hand a palm branch. And in the other hand, they would carry what the Bible calls a lulav, some kind of a fruit that they would carry in, a citron and a lulav. And I think the lulav was a palm branch and the citron was the fruit that they carried in their hand. And as they journeyed in, they would follow and gather around the priest. And the priest would carry forth a golden pot. Amen. And in that, or golden pitcher. And in that golden pitcher, he would carry water. And he would pour this water out upon this thirsty crowd. Now, I don't know every detail, and you know probably as much as I do, that a lot of times when you read commentaries, there's things that some people make speculations about. But I was reading somewhere, amen, in a commentary which said that I believe it was Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, where they said, and I might have gotten that wrong, I apologize if I did, where they said that on that eighth day, amen, they went without water all day long. They went without food all day long. And so as they gathered around the priest, they would all be thirsty and desiring something to drink, watching the priest as he carried the water and poured it out, and they would see this little trickle flow. And as they all gathered around, amen, watching the priest carrying the water, pouring it out, desiring to have something to drink, amen, on comes the Savior, and he cried with a loud voice, amen, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Praise God. And we can see all through the details of this verse here that Jesus was speaking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Jesus was speaking about an experience that believers could have. Amen. As the scripture has said, Jesus said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. That's an experience that you and I can have. Amen. We've got to understand that today. Amen. Jesus was speaking to a crowd of people who was thirsty, had a desire for water. And the obvious answer to the question, is anybody thirsty? The obvious answer to the question would be, yeah. But Jesus clarifies, and he lets them know, I'm not just asking if you're thirsty, period. I'm asking if you're thirsty for what I've got to offer. Amen. And the Bible says, this spake he of the Holy Ghost. It was not yet given, for Jesus had not yet been glorified. We all know what that's speaking of, when Jesus was glorified. Amen. John chapter number 17, Jesus prayed that he would be glorified with the glory which he had before the world was. And we can see that in the cross, Jesus defeated the devil in the resurrection. Amen. He was declared to be the Son of God with power. He declared that victory to the world, amen, there in the resurrection. And then we can see Jesus ascended from the earth and went up into heaven. And when he went to heaven, he sat down on the right hand of the Father, amen, waiting until his enemies would become his footstool. And we can see there, amen, Jesus, amen, was victorious at the cross. He was victorious in the resurrection. He was victorious in his resurrection appearances. But after the ascension and his seating at the right hand of the Father, it was there, amen, that he was glorified. And oh, I can tell you this, amen, just as much as it was true in the Old Testament that when a king would take his throne, the anointing oil would be placed upon that king, amen, when he was given that authority and crowned as king, amen, the oil would run down upon his head. I can picture in the Word of God how the oil would run upon a king, probably just like it did upon Aaron, where the Bible says that the oil dripped down upon his beard, amen, went down to his skirt. Amen. The same picture of Jesus. Amen. Making his way up to heaven. Amen. Being crowned and seated at the right hand of the Father. Given a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Being in the place where Peter said, wherefore, being at the right hand of God exalted, that oil came down on his head, flowed down, amen, to his skirts. The oil on the head came down to the body. That's why Peter said, wherefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, he shed forth this which you do now see and hear. He was talking about the fact, amen, that the outpouring of the Holy Ghost was evidence that Jesus had been glorified by the right hand of God exalted. Amen. Here it says in John chapter 7 that at this time the Spirit wasn't yet given. The Holy Ghost had not yet been given, for Jesus had not yet been glorified. I know it's true that if you want the Holy Ghost to come in your life, you've got to glorify Jesus. Amen. But there's a lot of folks that try to glorify Him with their mouth and expect the Holy Ghost to come, and it doesn't happen that way. The actual context is, amen, is waiting for the time where Jesus would take His throne at His Father's right hand. Amen. And we can say today that this has come to pass. Amen. Hallelujah. So the experience is available. That's exactly what we can understand tonight. The experience that Jesus was speaking of is available for all. Amen. It's given unto all. It's available for us to have if we want it. Amen. And I can go through tonight and give you a 10-step program of how to get the Holy Ghost. I could try to say like some, amen, if you give me 5 minutes, I can get you the Holy Ghost. I can't do nothing for you. I can tell you some scriptural principles. Amen. But I want to preach to you for a little while tonight at the bottom line. Amen. At bottom line is a desire and an expectation. I said the bottom line is a desire and an expectation. Amen. Not just desire and not just expectation, but a desire with an expectation. And the reason why so many times in our lives we're dry and empty and dead is because either we're not desiring or we're not expecting. Amen. I've seen a lot of folks that have desired to be filled. Amen. But they didn't expect it to happen tonight. I've seen a lot of folks that were expecting to get filled, but they really had no desire. Amen. You gotta have both. Amen. You gotta have both. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus doesn't mix any words here. Jesus doesn't leave any room for different interpretations, but He makes it very clear that this baptism that would come would be one that came because of a separate person from Himself. Amen. Jesus had baptized in Jordan. Jesus had let His disciples baptize. Amen. And Jesus was letting us know here that there was a baptism coming. For you understand, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 3, I believe it's verse number 11, that when He comes, He will baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Amen. Jesus may baptize, amen, in water while on earth, but today we understand, amen, though He's in heaven, He's still baptizing, but He's not baptizing with water anymore. He's baptizing with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I can tell you this right now, just starting off. Amen. Too many times we get things mixed up and think that what we're looking for is a feeling. Sometimes people think what we're looking for, amen, is just some kind of power in itself, and there's all kinds of mixed up individuals who think that what we're looking for is a force. I can tell you, amen, if you're seeking the Holy Ghost, you're looking for a person. Amen. The Bible is very clear that the Holy Ghost is a person. Amen. It'd be kind of difficult to grieve someone who wasn't a person. You don't grieve chairs because chairs are not people. You don't grieve, amen, altars. Literally, you may figuratively grieve an altar, but you don't literally grieve an altar because an altar is not a person. It's impossible to grieve something that is not a person. Amen. And so since we know that we're not supposed to grieve the Spirit of God is more, amen, than just a force. Oh, and I can tell you, if Peter was telling Ananias and Sapphira that they were lying to the Holy Ghost, amen, I've heard of people saying that the mirror was lying to them, but I can tell you, you've never lied to a mirror, because you can't lie to something that is not a real person. Amen. You can't lie to your dog, because your dog doesn't understand a word you're saying. Amen. If you're lying to someone, then that is a someone. And when Ananias and Sapphira lied, Peter said, you've lied to the Holy Ghost. Amen. That gives us an understanding that He is a He. Amen. I know it's a pet peeve, and I know we can get in trouble with pet peeves, but it's a pet peeve of mine when we sing "Send It On Down." Amen. It's not a it. He is a he. Amen. I'd get upset if you called me an it. I'd get even more upset if you called my wife or my children an it. But I sure don't like it when you call the Holy Ghost an it. Amen. Because he is a person. Amen. He is the third person of the triune Godhead. Amen. And as the third person of the triune Godhead, he is as eternal as God is. Amen. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 29 says that through the eternal Spirit. Amen. And so we understand the Holy Ghost is eternal. Amen. The Holy Ghost is also omnipotent. Amen. He's all powerful as much as God is all powerful. Amen. Luke chapter number 1 and verse number 37 there. Amen. We can read. I'd do better to read it than I would to quote it here tonight. Amen. Luke chapter number 1 and verse number 37. We can see here that it says, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen. And this was talking about the fact that Mary was expecting to conceive. Amen. And the conception, the immaculate conception of Mary, the Holy Ghost came upon her. And it was told, nothing is impossible with God. Amen. The same power, omnipotent, that was present in creation. Amen. Is present in the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Ghost is omniscient. Amen. What things know? Amen. How many of you know that the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 tells us that no man knows the things of God save the Spirit of God. Amen. It's the Spirit of God that knows all things, that searches the deep things of God. Amen. It is true. Amen. The Holy Ghost knows all. He's omniscient. Praise God. That means He knows everything. Amen. Without effort. Praise God. That's beyond our comprehension. But I like that about God. Amen. If I could figure God out completely, amen, then I might feel like I was something. Amen. But I'm glad to know that the God we serve is a God that we can't wrap our minds around, but He's got us in the palm of His hand. Amen. What a God. Amen. And the Holy Ghost is omniscient. He's omnipresent. Amen. The Holy Ghost is omnipresent. Psalm chapter number 139. We see there that David said, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall uphold me. Amen. The picture we can see there is that David understood that the Spirit of God is omnipresent. He's in every place. And I don't quite understand everything there is to know about omnipresence. Amen. An eternal God is omnipresent. If you're eternal and there is such a thing as time, how in the world is it possible? Amen. I don't know. But we understand the Bible says that God goes before us, He goes behind us, and He's with us. Amen. I don't know how that is. I can say this, amen, as being one who is eternal, but I'm not present. We can never say that God was something, except for one kind of funny statement in the Bible where Jesus said He's the one who was dead. Amen. Everything else about God, God is. God is. God is. Now, I don't know. I sometimes say that that means God is in all times, at every time, at the same time. And that's hard to understand. I don't know about that. Amen. But I do know this. Amen. God is always present in all places presently. Amen. Presently, always present in every place. Thank God. Amen. And that's the Holy Ghost. That's who we're talking about tonight. The Holy Ghost is a person who is eternal, omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent. Amen. The Holy Ghost is a person. As you look through the Word of God, this person is given different names. Amen. He's given the name the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. These are the two most used and frequently referred to names of the Holy Ghost in the New Testament, especially. He's called the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. And the emphasis here is upon the holiness of the Holy Ghost. You see in heaven, amen, when Isaiah had the vision of the Lord, amen, what did he see? He saw Jesus sitting on the throne, but he also saw the seraphim who cried out one to another. Amen. They said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Amen. And I can tell you in the book of Revelation, they're crying the same thing. The beasts who cease not, rest not day and night. They cry, holy, holy, holy. Now I know it is true. They're talking about the fact that God was holy, is holy, and always will be holy, was and is to come. But I can tell you this much too. Amen. There's three persons in the Godhead. Amen. It was saying, holy is the Father, holy is the Son, and holy is the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let me just put this in there. You can have as much of the Holy Ghost as you want of God's holiness. Amen. Hallelujah. You can have as much of the Holy Ghost as you want of God's holiness. Amen. He's also called the Spirit of God. These are the most used names of God, and really the four most important names of God, names of the Holy Ghost in the Word of God. They're all important, but the four that give us a better understanding altogether are these four names: the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, also the Spirit of God. This gives us an understanding that the Holy Ghost is eternally united with the Father. Amen. There's an inseparable union between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And the Father and the Holy Ghost are inseparably united. Amen. One. Hallelujah. Amen. The Spirit of God is one with the Father. We can also see that in the Word of God, He's called the Spirit of Christ. Amen. The Spirit of Christ. That speaks of the relationship between the Father and the Holy Ghost. Speaks of the relationship between the Son and the Holy Ghost. The relationship is this. Amen. Jesus prayed the Father that He would send another Comforter, and that other Comforter came. Amen. He is the Holy Ghost. Amen. He's called the Holy Spirit. He is humble. He's submissive. Amen. And the fact that He's submissive shows that He's equal with the Father and equal with the Son. Amen. Some folks think that submission means inferiority. You say, well, how in the world is it possible that submission proves equality? Well, you know, my dog has no choice whether he's going to submit to me or not. If I want to cut his nails, I hold him down and cut his nails. I want to give him a bath, I grab him by the scruff of his neck and give him a bath. My dog has no choice. Amen. He just submits. Amen. By no choice of his own. You say, well, Brother Trey, don't we submit to God? We do. But here's the catch. We submit to God. We don't choose if we submit to God. We choose when. We don't choose if we submit to God. We choose when. Because the Bible does say that every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And so you may say and think that you're something great. I can tell you these Kenneth Copeland bunch and all these Word of Faith movement bunch, they call themselves little gods. They say dogs have dogs, cats have cats, and gods have gods. That's hogwash. Amen. We are not equal to the Father because we don't choose if we submit to God. We simply choose when we submit to God. And I can tell you this, if you're a Christian tonight, you've chosen now to be the time that you submit to God. And it's a whole lot easier that way, Brother Matt. Amen. You can submit to Him now and enjoy the glory that's been given to Him in the end times. Amen. Though it may not be true, amen, that those who do not submit now have the same choice. Amen. They don't choose if, they simply choose when. You say, I'm resisting God. You say, I'm doing my own thing. You say, I'm going my own way. Amen. You may do that for a time. Amen. You haven't chosen if you're going to submit to God. You've simply chosen when. And the when that you've chosen, if you're resisting God now, the when that you've chosen is then. When all those that wait, they bow down. Amen. And it's too late. He said, Lord, Lord. He said, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Amen. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. Amen. Submission to the Father. His submission. Amen. Just as Christ's submission shows His equality with the Father. Amen. Jesus did choose to submit to the Father. I don't understand it all, but Jesus did have a will, and He submitted His will to the Father's will. Amen. The same way the Holy Ghost has submitted Himself to the Father. Not to take an inferior role, but to be humble. Amen. To have that quiet. Amen. That unseen role. Amen. Have you ever been there before? Have you ever been that unseen person, that one working behind the scene that nobody sees, that nobody knows the work you're doing, nobody knows the prayers you're praying, nobody knows, amen, the nice things, the nice deeds that you're doing, amen. Some folks, amen, they can't do anything unless it's in the open, amen. But I'm glad for the Holy Ghost. I know He does things that all eyes can see, but He also works behind the scenes. You see, in heaven there's two thrones, amen. I don't know, maybe some think there's one, and we can debate about that. There's the throne of the Lamb and the throne of God. Even if it is one throne with two people on it, the Bible gives no reference to the Holy Ghost having a throne there in heaven. That doesn't mean He's inferior. That just shows He's working behind the scenes. For all those of you that are working behind the scenes and nobody sees and nobody notices, be not weary in well doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. At the same time, remember this, amen, you're just following the example of your loving Master, and there's nothing more, amen, characterizing of a minister than the fact that you're working undercover and nobody sees and nobody knows the works that you're doing. Praise God. Oh, I can tell you, the Holy Ghost is a real person, and as such, amen, He's equal with the Father, equal with the Son. Amen. The Holy
Holy Ghost. Amen. It's powerful, omniscient. We ought to have a desire to have a relationship with this person. Amen. I've heard people say you ought to worship the Father. Amen. I believe that. Some people say you ought to worship the Son. I believe that too. Well, you ought to worship the Holy Ghost too. Amen. He is the person, the third person of the triune Godhead that completes the Trinity. There is no Trinity without the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us make man in our likeness. The Holy Ghost is a part of that. Amen. The angels and the seraphim and the beasts that worship in heaven don't only worship the Father and the Son, but they worship the Holy Ghost too. And so we understand there's a person that Jesus is speaking of here. There's a close person. Amen. He had a closer relationship with Him than He did with anyone else who was in the picture. Amen. Jesus was talking to some disciples who, as close as they were to Him, they didn't understand everything that Jesus was trying to teach them. Then He was looking at some others who were religious hypocrites, who were far from God as they could be, though they were going through ceremonial sacrifices and ceremonies, amen, that brought no righteousness to them. And Jesus looks at them. I can tell you, in them, there's the same problem that a lot of us face. In them, there's a lot of the same problems that we might be looking at here tonight. Amen. Two main problems that Jesus addresses here are two of the main problems in our Pentecostal churches today. We can look at a lot of different things. We really can look at a lot of different things, but I'm just talking about us being Pentecostal. Amen. The reason, two main problems, amen, when it comes to us, and there's all kinds of things that spring from this that you can name, but I can tell you the two main problems is, number one, there is no inflow, and number two, there is no outflow. Jesus is speaking of a river, amen, and any time you're going to have a successful river, a good river, there's got to be something flowing in, and there's got to be something flowing out, and if you don't have this, amen, you're going to have problems. And I don't know where you're at tonight. Amen. You may be having problem number one. You may be having the other problem. I don't know which one's yours. Maybe it's that you don't have enough inflow. Maybe it's that you're not having enough outflow of the Spirit of God. He's coming in, but He's not flowing out. Whatever it is, that's a problem, friend. And you gotta do something about that. Amen. Are you thirsty for God? Are you thirsty for the third person of the triune Godhead? Amen. Oh, Jesus was spoken of by John the Baptist. He said He was the one that was going to baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. John the Baptist was the first one to say that of Jesus. Jesus first began talking about the Holy Ghost here in John chapter 7. Amen. But John the Baptist was speaking about it even before Christ came. He said the one who's going to come will have his fan in his hand. He's going to thoroughly purge the floor. He said this one that's going to come, the axe will be laid at the root of the tree. Amen. He also said this one that's going to come, he's going to baptize you. I baptize with water, but he that comes after me, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. Amen. He it is that baptizes with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Amen. But John knew about that before he said it there on Jordan, because the Lord had told him, amen, that the one who would be the one who is to come, he would see, amen, that there would be a dove upon him. He said, this one upon whom you see the dove descend and remain, he it is who will baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Amen. Two things John was looking for when he came to earth. Two things. He was looking for the Lamb. He was looking for the dove. When he saw the dove, he knew that was the Lamb. That's why John said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. I'm glad, amen, we can have the Lamb of God. He can take away our sins. Amen. But John's message was more than just amen. I'm not trying to minimize anything. The work of God is complete in taking away sins in Christ. But understand this. Amen. The work of God begins in salvation. Amen. But it continues in sanctification and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And as much as we may think we've arrived, amen, we haven't arrived. Whether you're saved and just got saved, you've not arrived. If you've been sanctified, amen, there's some debate there. I don't want to debate with you about it. I want you to demonstrate if you got it. How about that? Amen. I don't want to debate. I see you demonstrate. I want to try to demonstrate by the Spirit of God too. Amen. And all the debating we do, you can say you're sanctified, but one of the main problems in some of the Church of God is that there's some who think that they've been sanctified and now they've arrived. You've arrived. You might as well just go to heaven. You don't need the Lord anymore. You got everything you need. Amen. Put your Bible down. Put aside prayer. Put aside everything. You don't need anything else. Amen. Here we see a church world today. Amen. We're living in a church world that seems to be, we say that today is a Laodicean hour. I don't know if I believe that the seven churches are seven ages, but I can tell you there's a little bit of every church, amen, in the book of Revelation and every church in the United States of America. Amen. Some have more than others. Some churches are primarily Laodicean churches, but I can tell you that there are Laodicean believers in just about every church. Amen. There are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Amen. But Jesus is still saying the same thing. Amen. You're blind. You're naked. You're miserable. Counsel of me, and I'll give you gold tried by the fire. Amen. Amen. You probably heard it before, but in Laodicea, I don't know. We can get into splitting all kinds of hairs, and I don't like doing that when I'm preaching. But I can tell you this: Jesus doesn't want anybody to be cold when it comes to your spiritual condition. He don't want anybody to be cold, and He doesn't want you to be lukewarm either. But the picture here is that there in Laodicea, there were two surrounding communities. And I don't remember the exact cities, but I know one of them, I'm pretty sure one of them was Colossae. There was another one, I forget what the name of the city was. It might have been Hierapolis or something like that. But two main cities from which they drew their supply of water. And one supply of water was piping hot. And the other supply of water was extremely cold. Hot water would do good. Just as much as you like hot water, you might like to take a hot bath, hot shower. It soothes you. It relaxes you. You drink some hot coffee or hot tea. Amen. It soothes your throat. Amen. That hot water has almost a soothing thing to it, and almost a healing. It's almost like a healing balm sometimes. Amen. Hot water is useful for something. Cold water is refreshing to the taste, and it refreshes your body, and it refreshes your mouth, and it quenches your thirst. Amen. And so what Jesus was trying to say was, I wish you were cold because cold is useful. I wish you were hot because hot is useful. But you're lukewarm. And what characterized a lukewarm Christian? Somehow they got to a place where their desire was gone. Somehow they got to a place where the desire was gone. Amen. Jesus came to baptize us with the Holy Ghost and fire. Jesus came to fill us with the Holy Ghost. Amen. To be baptized means to be immersed, completely immersed. And the picture is with the Holy Ghost and fire. The picture of fire. Amen. You can think about something catching on fire, the burning bush there that spoke to Moses. There was God speaking out of the burning bush there. We see that the bush was on fire, but not consumed. Fire was all around the outside. Amen. Fire was all on that bush. And that's the way God wants us to be when we're baptized with the Holy Ghost. He wants the Holy Ghost to be all over us, all on us, completely immersed in the Spirit of God. Amen. Clothed with the Spirit of God. But it's not just that. Amen. God wants us to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Not only something on the outside, but something on the inside. Not only a clothing on the outside, but a filling on the inside. Amen. That word filled. Amen. Just as much as we would fill a cup and say it's complete, that word filled has the idea of completion. Amen. That word fill has the idea of completion. Amen. There's some who say that the Holy Ghost is the icing on the cake. Amen. It's something that would be nice to have if you were saved, and maybe you ought to desire to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I heard one man say, we're as incomplete as Adam was before God breathed the breath of life into him. Amen. If we're not filled with the Holy Ghost, amen, being filled with the Spirit of God, understand this, you've been made for one purpose. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, amen, which comes down from God. And we can know, amen, that if God has told us we should be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, that's a command from the Lord. And Jesus told his disciples to tarry until they be endued with power from on high. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. So we can see that the Holy Ghost gives us a connection with a living person. The Holy Ghost, baptism of the Holy Ghost, brings us a completion. Amen. Calvary, amen, completes the work of our salvation from sin. But the baptism of the Spirit of God, amen, completes the fact that God makes us ready and gives us what we need to be that vessel that He wants us to be. Think of yourself like this. You've been saved. You've been delivered from sin. But you've not been filled with the Holy Ghost. Imagine a glove with no hand in it. Amen. Imagine a glove with no hand in it. I believe that that's what the disciples were there in the upper room. I believe they were saved, waiting for the promise of the Father. Amen. But when the Holy Ghost came, the hand went into the glove and started doing a work. And so it is in your life. If you've not been filled with the Spirit of God, you're a glove waiting to be filled so that you can reach your full potential in God. Amen. You're not complete or completely complete until you're filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. Please don't take my words and mince them and say that I'm trying to tell you that if you're not filled, you're not going to heaven. But I can tell you this much true is true. Amen. If you're not desiring more than what you've got, amen, you're on the wrong path today. If you're not desiring more of God, you're on the wrong path today. Amen. The reason why a lot of us don't have an inflow is because we don't desire it like we should. The reason why a lot of us, amen, don't have the Spirit of God flowing in us is because we're not desiring. We're not pursuing. We're not seeking. Amen. I heard a good man say one time, he said, God will fill every hungry heart. You're seeking the Holy Ghost. Keep seeking the Holy Ghost. Seek it with a hungry heart. And if it comes time for the rapture and you haven't got it, this man said, he said, if you haven't got it by the time the rapture takes place, God will fill you with the Holy Ghost at the rapture as long as you're seeking. I don't know for sure what he's saying there, but I can tell you this much is true. Amen. We need the Holy Ghost. There's some folks who think that it's optional. There's some folks who think that maybe it's just something that's nice to have. Amen. A person who's not Pentecostal is a person who doesn't have the power like they needed. A person who doesn't have that Pentecostal experience, amen, is missing something. Amen. We can read in the book of Romans chapter 8, and I know that there's some other things that are involved there, but there's a key phrase that I noticed today as I was studying there. In Romans chapter 8, two times the Bible says that we should not live after the flesh, and it also says two times we should live after the Spirit. Then again it says they that live after the Spirit. And I like the phrase there, after the Spirit. We can see there the pursuit of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This is something that should be in the life of every saved person. Amen. But I want to tell you this too. If you have been filled with the Holy Ghost, this should still be what characterizes your life. It shouldn't just be a desire that was finally fulfilled and quenched when you got filled. Amen. But if you got filled, you got a desire to get filled again, because the present tense, amen, it's always a present tense and continual tense, amen. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled. Literally, it should be said, be being filled. Let it be a constant desire with a constant inflow that has a constant outflow. Amen. Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Jesus didn't say, blessed are they which did hunger and thirst after righteousness. He said, blessed are they which do hunger after and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. A continual inflow will come to those who have a continual desire. Amen. Thank God for yesterday's outpouring. Thank God for yesterday's infilling. Amen. But today's a new day and we need a new infilling. Amen. The desire shouldn't leave when the filling comes, but the desire should continue. Amen. Look at what happens in the book of Acts. Chapter number 2, the Holy Ghost falls. They've been seeking for 7 days and looking for the Holy Ghost to fall. He fell. Amen. They preached. 3,000 got saved. They were added to the kingdom. But what's the next thing you find them doing? Prayer brought the Holy Ghost, and when the Holy Ghost came, He led them to pray. Amen. That's what it is, and that's what it does. And if that's not your experience, amen, you've allowed your experience to grow cold. You've allowed the river to stop flowing like it should. You've allowed a river to become a pond, or a marsh, or a cesspool, amen, or a dead sea, and that's not God's desire. God's desire is that the river would flow. Constant inflow. Amen. That's why there's no outflow, because there's no inflow. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Prayer brought the fire, but the fire led them to pray. Next thing you see them doing is being the hour of prayer. They went to the temple. And I don't remember every single part of it. I was reading and studying through the book of Acts, and it just fascinates me to see in Acts chapter 1, they continue with one accord in prayer and supplication. Acts chapter number 2, amen, when the Holy Ghost came, they prayed. Amen. Acts chapter number 3, they went to the temple being the hour of prayer. Amen. Acts chapter number 4, after being taken and stripes laid on their back, they prayed until the place was shaken. Amen. Acts chapter number 5 doesn't necessarily say they prayed. Amen. But they had a long church service that had 2 funerals in it, and they said the Holy Ghost has control. Amen. Hallelujah. He like being Pentecostal. That's Pentecostal.
Somebody said that thing runs 6 hours and two funerals. That's a long service, and that's a tough service to be in. Amen. But I believe everyone that came out of there had their hearts pure before God. Amen. Acts chapter number 6. Amen. They desired that they would get deacons. And when they sought out deacons, amen, they did so because they wanted to give themselves continually to the Word of God in prayer. Acts chapter number 7, we see Stephen. The Bible says he was stoned. And when he was stoned, it said he was stoned calling on the name of the Lord. Acts chapter number 8. Amen. The apostles came and prayed for them and laid their hands upon them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter number 9. Amen. Paul. Amen. Saul. Whichever one you want to call him there. Paul was his Gentile name. Saul was his Hebrew name. He was there. He got saved. He said, Lord, what was I having to do? He told him to go to one whose name was Judas. And he went to Judas's house. And he waited there when Ananias came. Ananias was told by the Lord to go and visit Saul. He said, Lord, don't you know this is the guy that persecutes the church? And the Lord said, behold, he prayeth. Acts chapter number 10. Amen. Peter was on the rooftop fasting and praying. Amen. Cornelius was praying. And so God sent Peter to Cornelius' house, and the Holy Ghost fell. Amen. That was a result of prayer. Amen. Just because you're Pentecostal, amen, just because you got the Holy Ghost, doesn't mean your desire leaves when the fulfillment comes. Amen. The fulfillment, amen, of your desire is to give you more desire. Amen. Hallelujah. So if your desire is lacking, amen, you need to pray for the Lord. Give me more desire, Lord. Give me more desire. God, help me not to get to a place where I'm satisfied with last week's lunch. Lord, help me not to get to a place. I tell you to stop eating today. Amen. Maybe y'all wouldn't have as hard time as some folks would. Amen. But today you try to tell somebody not to eat. Amen. My children, they don't quite understand. They've not gotten to fasting yet. They're maybe a little too young. I don't know. Everybody in Nineveh fasted when they were seeking the Lord. Even the animals did. And I can't say my animals never fasted before. Not on purpose at least. Amen. I haven't forced my kids to fast yet. But they get so hungry, and to them, they're starving. They've gone just a little bit of time without food, and they're starving. Amen. Would to God we'd get the desire of a child once more with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Just go a little bit of time without that river flowing and say, Lord, it's not flowing like it should. God, I'm hungry for you. Lord, I'm hungry for your presence. God, I'm hungry that you'd fill me. Amen. We need that desire. Amen. We need that passion. We need that pursuit. We need that desire with an expectation for God to come and fill us again. Hallelujah. So where's your desire tonight? I'm not asking you that in a smart aleck way. Amen. But where's your desire tonight? There was a caravan that was marching through the desert lands. As they were going through the desert lands, they'd been on a conquest. And some of them had captured some, I guess the illustration I was reading called them hearts. I guess it's kind of like a deer. And they were carrying through the desert places, and they were looking for these two fountains that had been there on previous journeys. And when they arrived at the fountains, they realized that these two fountains had been dried up, and they had no way to get water. Tired and thirsty and desiring something to drink. Amen. They journeyed as far as they could go. Then they finally stopped, got off of their camels and stood there desiring water. Too tired to go on any further and too thirsty to get any energy or strength. Amen. And so what somebody did, he said, let those hearts go. Open up their cage and let them go. They were panting. They were thirsty. They were desiring something to drink. When he opened the cages up, amen, these animals, amen, began sniffing around. Amen. You could tell that they were thirsty and panting. Amen. These animals began sniffing around. Then they took off, and the whole caravan of horses and camels followed after those two animals. Followed them all the way. Amen. All the way to a place where the water was. Inside of those animals was a desire and an instinct that would help them to find water when they were thirsty. Amen. And inside of every single one of us is a desire. Amen. That if we'll follow that desire, it'll take us where we can be quenched. Amen. Where we can be filled. Where we can find the source. And not just a supply. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Where's your desire? This is the condition of the majority of the church world. Majority of the church world doesn't have that much of an inflow. I'm not telling you that. You could have been filled with the Holy Ghost before you walked in here tonight. But I can't help but think that there's a few of you that may be in a place where your desire is not where it should be. And I can tell you this much as well. If you don't desire to be filled with the Holy Ghost, there's a few different reasons. I know how it is with me, and you know how it is with you. There's some things that you're not filled with now.
that you would be honest with me and say, I'm not filled with this because I don't want it. I'm not filled with Brussels sprouts right now because I don't have any desire for Brussels sprouts. I don't want them. Amen. I don't want them. You might not be filled with cabbage right now because you don't want cabbage. That's the way it is for a lot of people. They're not filled with the Holy Ghost because they don't want it. I don't know how many of you are that way, but I don't suspect that there's a lot. Here's another reason why some folks are not filled. Some folks aren't filled with something because they don't want it. Other folks aren't filled with something because they're filled with something else. Because they're filled with something else. What is it that's got your time? What is it that's got your affections? What is it that's got your love? Amen. You're filled with something. Amen. You're filled with something. Like child filling up on junk food instead of eating what it should. Like people who go and I don't know where what kind of things you like to drink, but personally, you know, I like drinking whatever it might be called around here. Some folks call it soda. Some call it pop. Some call it sody pop. Some call it Coke, no matter what it is. That's where I was raised. Coke, no matter what it is. I'll have a Coke. What kind of Coke you want? Whatever it is. When we got to Iraq, I'll tell you this much right now. When we got to Iraq, Coke hit the door. When we got to Iraq, all that stuff hit the door because at that point, to drink Coke all day long meant you're falling out. Amen. We drank water. We drank Gatorade. Every once in a while, we'd have a pop, soda pop, Coke, whatever you call it. Every once in a while, we'd have one of those. But if we did, it was just a treat, just something small. But the majority of what we were drinking was water. Amen. Water, water, water. Never drank so much water in my life. And if all we had was hot water, I was drinking that hot water, and I'd rather have hot water than a cold soda. Amen. Much rather at that point have hot water than a cold soda. Amen. Why? Because I knew that even though it didn't necessarily feel good to my body to drink hot water, I knew it was good for my body. It was what my body needed. And I can tell you, amen, there's a lot of folks that fill their minds with this world's trash and wonder why they don't have a desire for God. There's some folks who fill themselves with all the entertainment of this world and wonder why they don't have any, amen, desire for God. Amen. If you want a greater desire for God, fill your life with the things of God. Fill your life with prayer. Fill your life with the Word of God. Talk about the Lord. Think about the Lord. Spend time with the Lord, and you'll find your desire for Him will increase the more and more. Amen. We've not come into this thing so we could find the supply. But we came into this thing to develop a relationship with the Source. Amen. With the Source. Praise God. Amen. My children, they look to me and my wife as the Source. They know as long as they stay close to us, they're always going to have what they need. Amen. All they have to do is stay close enough to me, stay close enough to their wife, or my wife, not their wife, to where when they have a desire, they're so close, all they have to do is look over and say, Mommy, I'm hungry. They just have to look over and say, Daddy, I'm thirsty. Could you get me something to drink? Hallelujah. Would to God we develop that kind of relationship with the Lord. Amen. Where we stay so close to Him. Amen. That when that desire does come, we know we're so close to Him. All we have to do is turn to Him and say, Lord, I'm hungry. Lord, I'm thirsty. Lord, I'm dry. Lord, I'm needing You to fill me again. Amen. Problem number one is that so many folks don't have any inflow whatsoever. Amen. But if you have that desire, I want you to know it should be a desire with an expectation. It's not just a pursuit, but it's a pursuit that ends in a presence. Amen. It's a desire that leads to a person, and that person is the Holy Ghost Himself. Amen. The Bible tells us that we should be in the Spirit. Paul marveled that the Galatians, amen, began in the Spirit. And that's the way all of our relationships with God begin. We begin in the Spirit. Amen. We're never made perfect by the flesh, but we should begin in the Spirit. And we ought to begin every day in the Spirit. We ought to begin, amen, every service in the Spirit. Amen. Praise God. And in the Spirit we'll find, amen, that there's righteousness, amen, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Bible says we should be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. But we should also be in the Spirit. Amen. We make prayers and supplication in the Spirit. Amen. Jude said we should pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. John was on the Isle of Patmos. He was in a pretty nasty place. Amen. He was in that place. But somehow, though John was in a place called Patmos, he was in the flesh. John crossed over to a realm where he could say, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That's what happens when you pursue that desire. That desire will lead you into a person. Amen. That person is the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Amen. We need to get in the Spirit when we pray. We need to get in the Spirit when we come to church. We need to get in the Spirit when we sing. We need to get in the Spirit. Amen. When we come to the house of God, no matter where we are. Amen. We can know this, since the Holy Ghost is omnipresent wherever we are. We can get in the Spirit and we can be lifted up out of our troubles. Water always exists in a solid form until you apply a little bit of heat to it. You apply a little bit of heat to that water in a solid form. See, that's exactly what temperature gauges. Heat is not cold is not the presence of cold. Cold is the absence of heat. Just like darkness is not the presence of darkness, except for one place in the Bible. It's the absence of light. And so cold, amen, it's the absence of heat. When you apply a little bit of heat to cold water, amen, that cold water that's solid becomes liquid and begins to flow. That's what happens when the Holy Ghost moves upon us in regeneration. Amen. Oh, but I thank God, if you put a little bit more heat to that water, it begins to evaporate and make its way up to the heavens. And that's the way it is with us. When we let the Lord move upon us and we get in the Spirit, we're lifted up to a place where Paul could say, amen, we are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. I know that I'm on the earth, but if I get in the Spirit, I can be on the earth and in heaven at the same time. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Get a little bit of taste, but get in the Spirit of God. Amen. That's where God desires for us to be. That's where we've got to press in. That's exactly what it means to pray through. Amen. That's what it means to pray through. You pray through the Spirit. You mortify the deeds of the flesh. You get out of the flesh and into the Spirit. You live in the flesh. When you came in, you were in the flesh, but you pray through the flesh to get in the Spirit. And that's the way we ought to live our lives as Christians. God has intended for us to pursue His presence until we get in the Spirit of God. And once we're there, we can deal with problem number two. Amen. The inflow is good. It brings us into a presence. But the outflow must be there, or else our Pentecostal experience is lacking. Problems in the church, all kinds of them. But the Dead Sea didn't become dead until it stopped flowing out. And things stopped flowing in. Now, I don't know every detail there is to know about the Dead Sea. I do know it's dead. That's an obvious thing. And I know that it's full of salt. I want to read to you a little bit from the book of Ezekiel about a river that the Bible says brings life everywhere it goes. Amen. This river that Ezekiel saw in Ezekiel chapter number 47, verse number 8, then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live. Amen. That's a picture of the Pentecostal experience. The Holy Ghost flows in, through, and out. That's what God wants to do in your life. Amen. That's the desire God has for you. That's the experience God has prepared for you. Amen. And I wonder sometimes if the reason why some of us end up so dry is because we're not letting the Holy Ghost flow through us. I heard one man say that the measure of inflow that we receive is determined by the amount of outflow that we give. Amen. Oh, my Lord, help us here tonight. Oh, I can tell you that the anointing that came to the king and to the priest, the anointing was always to fulfill an office. And we can see it in the Word of God in Acts chapter number 2. When the power came for service. Jesus told them, wait. But before he told them to wait, he told them to go. The reason why they were waiting was for the Holy Ghost. And what they were going to do after the Holy Ghost came was go, like Jesus said for them to go. Amen. If I told you to wait, it'd be one thing. But if I told you to go and then to wait, it would let you understand that after you waited, there was a purpose and something you had to do. Amen. After the waiting was done. And that is true of us. The Holy Ghost has come. Not just to make us full, but to make us full for a purpose. Amen. I like to eat, and I like to eat. I enjoy Thanksgiving. And I like to sit down and get a good turkey. And get a good, mashed potatoes. Man, I love sweet potato casserole. I just love it. I love to eat, and Thanksgiving is a time, we come together, we thank God for everything we have, and we eat as much as we can, thank God for all that. And then the next day we go out, and it's the biggest shopping day of the year. We thank God for everything we have, then we go buy a bunch of new stuff. That's the way we are. Here we are on Thanksgiving Day, we fill ourselves up, had to loosen our belt a couple holes, because we're just so full. And on those kinds of days we get so full, Amen. I've been there before. You get so full that all you want to do is go to sleep. So full, you just want to take a nap. Amen. Some folks think that the Holy Ghost is that way. You get so full, you just want to lay back. Take a nap. Take a rest. But that's not the way it is. You see, maybe certain days we eat and feel real good so we can have a siesta. But the majority of time we eat for a purpose. We eat so we can have strength, so we can work. We fill our bodies full of food for the purpose of being profitable individuals in the world. Amen. And sometimes I find myself in a place where I'm not as hungry as I should be. And I know that that's a time when I'm not working as much as I should be. Amen. And I find a good day's work sometimes does me a lot of good. It helps me out. It helps my body. It increases my energy, but it also increases my appetite. There's a lot of people whose appetites are low, amen, because their output is low. Amen. If you want to have a greater appetite for God, begin doing something for the Lord. Amen. If you don't think you need an infilling and an outpouring of the Holy Ghost in your life, maybe it's because you don't realize that God expects you to do something. Maybe it's because you don't realize that God expects you to be the one to carry on this great commission. One man was asked the question, how do you interpret the great commission? And his answer was, you don't interpret the Great Commission, you just do it. Amen. That's the way it is with most of the things that are in the Word of God, but especially the Great Commission. You do it. Amen. And if you understand that the reason that Jesus gave the baptism of the Holy Ghost was not just to bless us, but was to prepare us to go and preach the gospel unto every creature. Amen. You wouldn't just get full to take a nap. You get full so you can do something. Amen. A lot of folks have a dead experience because there is no outflow. Some of the most, and there's very few in the holiness ranks, I really do mean that. There's just a few, but some of the people that you meet sometimes that are the meanest, most bitter, most hateful, most difficult people to be around are individuals who could all testify that they once had something, but they're not doing anything with it. Amen. Problem number one, we don't have an inflow. Problem number two, we don't know what to do with it when it comes. I wonder tonight, are you thirsty? Is there anybody here that has a desire? Is there anybody here that understands that you've got a commission, that you've got something to do? One thing that the disciples understood when they were up in the upper room, they understood that they needed the Holy Ghost. Just as much as they needed Jesus to be by their side, they needed the Holy Ghost. They needed Him. He would be everything to them. Jesus was to them. Jesus said, I send you another comforter. He'll be like me. Jesus said He would give another comforter. Amen. Not another of a different kind, but another of the same kind. Amen. So He would do everything for them that Jesus did for them. But then Jesus said, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I don't go away, the comforter cannot come. Jesus was letting them know that it was going to be better. Not only would He do everything that Jesus did for them, but He was going to be more to them than Jesus had ever been. Amen. Not because Jesus wasn't as great as the Holy Ghost, but because Jesus was only able to be in one place at one time to perform His miracles. Amen. But the Holy Ghost could be in believers all over the world. That's why Jesus could say in John chapter number 14 verse 12, the works that I do shall ye do, a continuation, and greater works than these. Amen. We see a greater work being done in the church today. Amen. And the reason why it's possible is because that we have the Holy Ghost, and it's expedient for us. Amen. That Jesus went away. Amen. We can get into the Spirit, but once we're there, it's now our responsibility. Through the Spirit, we mortify the deeds of the flesh. Through the Spirit, we obey the truth. Amen. Through the Spirit, praise God. Amen. And it's by the Spirit of God that we cast out devils. By the Spirit of God, amen, that we speak under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. It's by the Spirit of God that we're sent, like Barnabas and Saul were in the book of Acts chapter number 13. It's by the Spirit of God that we keep what we've got. And it's by the Spirit of God that we're led by the Spirit of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18, amen, we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. We need the Holy Ghost. As much as you may think that you're sufficient in yourself, I hope that you don't. We need the Holy Ghost. God's not in the business of raising a spiritual fat farm. And please don't take me wrong here. God's not in the business of pumping in. We got these chickens today. We eat chickens, and I'm not trying to make you not want to eat chicken. I love chicken. I'll eat even the chicken they make today. Now, all those chickens we eat, they're chickens on steroids, pumping all kinds of stuff in them, getting so full they can't even walk, getting so big. That's the way these chickens are. They fill them with steroids so much, they're so big, they grow so fast, They're profitable for those that are killing them and slaying them, and we can eat them. But those chickens, if they're left on their own, they can't even walk. They're so big. Too big for their own good. We can see that God's not into raising us up that way. That's not how things work. If we don't have a desire, God doesn't keep filling us. If we don't have an outflow, God doesn't keep sending it in. God looks for there to be an outflow before there can be an inflow. The Holy Ghost, like water, follows the path of least resistance. That's why we yield to Him. He looks for us to yield to Him, and He flows in. And as we yield to Him, He's looking, just like it is with water that flows on the earth, looking for the path of least resistance. There's no outflow. That water most likely won't flow in there. But if it does flow in there, it flows in for the purpose of making an outflow. Amen. That's why the Holy Ghost has come to our lives. There's a world out there that needs what we've got. Jesus said, "He that believeth in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And I can't get any more profound than what Jesus said. I can tell you this. We need the Holy Ghost. Jesus said that they had not received him because Jesus had not been glorified. The Bible speaks all through the Word of God about receiving the Spirit of God. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Amen. Receiving the Holy Ghost is what we do. They were tarrying for the Holy Ghost for 7 days. But now, Jesus said, we can receive the Holy Ghost. Receive it. And if you receive Him, amen, you can look for Him to flow in. His desire is to flow out. And that's what God's plan is for the Pentecostal church today. Amen. I know that I didn't pick this scripture because it says in the last day. I know this is the last day we're going to be here. And I know we're fixing to get in a van and drive up. And hopefully the van will continue to work like it has been before we trade that thing in. Mike Maxson says you can't serve the Lord in a Ford. Well, you can serve the Lord in any kind of vehicle, but it sure is hard to drive some of those things around the road sometimes. At least that Ford van. Amen. God wants to make you, amen, a vessel that He can use. God wants to touch people that are in your community, in your area, in your family. God wants to make you a useful vessel for Him. Don't let it be said like those in Laodicea. When the Lord looks at them and says, "You're rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing." But let it be said like Jesus spoke in the book of Matthew, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And if you are filled, let it flow. Amen. Let the river of God flow through you. Let the Holy Ghost empower you and make you a channel, a vessel, amen, that He can use. Would you stand with me here tonight? Hallelujah. I feel like I tried to deliver my heart tonight. I feel like I tried to obey the Lord tonight. And I hope somebody... maybe if there's anything that I can do for you tonight, it's just try to encourage you to cultivate that desire for God. Amen. You may have been filled with the fire, but that fire ought to let that desire continue. Amen. The Holy Ghost comes not to take away your desire for Him. But the Holy Ghost comes to give you more and more and more and more. That's exciting, isn't it? Amen. Let's come tonight. Amen. If you have that desire, amen, let God fulfill that desire tonight so you can be filled again. If you've been wearied and worn down, amen, in this world we're living in, come and let the Lord fill you again. Amen. Jesus let us know that when the Holy Ghost would come, it would be like rivers of living water flowing from deep within us. It would be springing up into everlasting life. Amen. We can see that it's the Holy Ghost that quickens. He quickened Jesus when He rose from the dead. He will quicken us one day. And the Bible says that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken also our mortal bodies. Let Him quicken you tonight. Let Him strengthen you tonight. Let Him strengthen you with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Let Him prepare you to be a vessel. Amen. That'll be able to carry forth this gospel and be a light in this lost and dying world. Maybe your desire is lower than it should be. Maybe you haven't desired Him, and maybe it's been a long time or even a short time since your desire has been where you know it should be. Say, "Lord, please increase my desire for You." You know, if He increases His desire for you, He's always going to fulfill that desire. You're not putting yourself out on a limb when you pray that prayer. But you're secure in saying, "Lord, increase that desire," because the same one who'll increase your desire for Him will be the same one who fulfills that desire. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God.
The kind that sets my spirit free and says, sets my soul on fire. I want it to affect my life when I go to God in prayer. I want that tried and proven, old-fashioned Holy Ghost desire. Well, I'm tired of feeling like I have been wrong. My Christian life is more than just a job. When I pray, I want to feel the holy power. I need that old-fashioned Holy Ghost desire. I want that old-fashioned Holy Ghost desire. It's the kind that sets my spirit free, sets my soul on fire. I want it to affect my life when I go to God in prayer. I want that trying to prove it, old-fashioned Holy Ghost desire. I want that old-fashioned Holy Ghost desire. Kind that sets my spirit free, sets my soul on fire. I want it to affect my life when I go to God in prayer. I want that old-fashioned Holy Ghost desire. Well, I'm tired of feeling like I have been wrong. My Christian life is more than just a job. When I pray, I want to feel that holy power. I need that old-fashioned Holy Ghost desire. I want that old-fashioned Holy Ghost desire. Kind that sets my spirit free and sets my soul on fire. I want it to affect my life when I go to God in prayer. I want that tried and proven, old-fashioned Holy Ghost desire. I want that old-fashioned Holy Ghost desire. It's the kind that sets my spirit free, sets my soul on fire. I want it to affect my life when I go to God in prayer. I want that old-fashioned. Holy Ghost desire. It's gonna set my spirit free and sets my soul on fire. I want it to affect my life when I go to God in prayer. I need that old-fashioned Holy Ghost desire. Well, I want that old-fashioned Holy Ghost desire. Kind that sets my spirit free and sets my soul on fire. I want it to affect my life when I go to God in prayer. I need that Holy Ghost desire. Well, I'm tired of feeling like I have been wrong. You see, my Christian life is more than just a job. And when I pray, I need to feel God's holy power. Give me that old-fashioned Holy Ghost desire. I want that old-fashioned Holy Ghost desire. The kind that sets my spirit free and sets my soul on fire. I want it to affect my life when I go to God in prayer. I want that tried and proven, old-fashioned Holy Ghost desire.
That old-fashioned Holy Ghost desire. Oh, the kind that sets my spirit free, sets my soul on fire. Want to affect my life when I go to God in prayer. Tried and proven, old-fashioned Holy Ghost desire. I want that old-fashioned Holy Ghost desire. Oh, the kind that sets my spirit free, sets my soul on fire. I want it to affect my life when I go to God in prayer. Want that tried and proven, old-fashioned Holy Ghost desire. Sets my spirit free, it sets my soul on fire. Want it to affect my life when I go to God in prayer. I want tried and proven, old-fashioned Holy Ghost desire.
Ghost desire. It's the kind that sets my spirit free and sets my soul on fire. I want it to affect my life when I go to God in prayer. I need that old-fashioned Ghost desire. Well, I'm tired of feeling like I have been wrong. My Christian life is more than just a job. When I feel that holy power, I need that old-fashioned Holy Ghost desire. I want that old-fashioned Holy Ghost desire. 'Cause it's the kind that sets my spirit free and it sets my soul afire. I want it to affect my life when I go to God in prayer. I want that tried and proven old-fashioned Holy Ghost desire. Well, I'm tired of that cold and empty feeling, the lethargy when I feel that I am kneeling. Oh, Lord, plant me on the rock, not in the mire. I need that old-fashioned Holy Ghost desire. I want that old-fashioned Holy Ghost desire. It's the kind that sets your spirit free, sets my soul on fire. I want it to affect my life when I go to God in prayer. I want that Holy Ghost desire. Well, I'm tired of that cold and empty feeling, the lethargy I feel when I am kneeling. Lord, plant me on the rock, not in the mire. Give me that old-fashioned Holy Ghost desire. I want that old-fashioned Holy Ghost desire. It's the kind that sets my spirit free and it sets my soul on fire. I want it to affect my life when I go to God in prayer. Try to prove it. Old-fashioned Holy Ghost desire. We need that old-fashioned Holy Ghost desire. It's the kind that sets your spirit free and sets the soul on fire.